Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide.
This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia.
Tech Guide.
It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect.
Tech Guide.
They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 144, the weekly podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading once again. And for all you first timers, welcome aboard. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we look at the law that may block our access to certain websites. Belkin expands its family of Wemo home automation products. And I share my thoughts on the latest Star Wars teaser trailer. In the Tech Guide reviews, we take a look at the 12-inch MacBook, the Mophie Juice Pack battery case for the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, and the Kobo Glow HD e-reader. And we'll finish it off with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to talk about, so let's get cracking. Well, there's been a lot of talk about lately considering online piracy, blocking certain websites. There's now a law being proposed by the government as part of their copyright amendment bill to block access to certain websites. Obviously, the sites being targeted here are sites where content is shared illegally. Now, one thing that could result, one thing that may suffer if this law actually passes is our ability to use virtual private networks. Now, VPNs, as they're known as, allow us to connect to international sites and also get around geo-blocked services and sites, like Netflix being one of those examples. And it also allows us, these VPNs, to shop internationally, to shop for products at a better price. And with those products I'm talking about can include content. So if people want to download movies, say, from the US iTunes store instead of the Australian iTunes store, they're going to get a better deal in the US. And a VPN is what helps them do that. Now, VPNs, as I mentioned, was another way for people to access services like Netflix, which can sense what area of the world you're logging in from. Hence the need for the VPN to fool that geo blocking technology on their site. So it fools the site into thinking that you're in the US rather than here in Australia. Now, this new bill, which is designed to, well, it's basically going to be an internet filter. They want to block access to certain websites and content creators, including Sony, are right behind this. They've been lobbying to get this to prevent users from navigating from international areas to access certain content. Now, I think it's in our right to allow us to seek out this content and pay for it. I'm not saying VPN should be used for piracy. That's not the point here at all. I think the VPN is our way of getting a fair go to find things at a cheaper price, which surely there's no law against that. So if this law happens to be passed, one of the things that could happen is that the government may use this law as a way to block the use of virtual private networks. So that could have a massive effect on our online freedom. Now, the filter that they propose is obviously designed to stamp out privacy. But what the risk here is, they may also stamp out our online freedom at the same time. Now, there are a lot of people here in Australia that do access other parts of the internet using a VPN. And we're talking more than 600,000 Australians use VPNs to access mainly content. Other online stores only allow purchases from, say, the US. and VPNs are used, then people obviously have a US mailing address and things are worked out that way. But the way they can access those sites is by using a VPN. So here in this new proposal, the VPN could be a victim. Should this pass? I don't think the bill will pass in its current form. I think there needs to be a few amendments made to it. We need to have assurances that VPNs should be allowed to circumvent that GA block, but obviously not to access illegal content. That's obviously against the law. But also allow us to seek out these prices that are cheaper here than are here in Australia. I think that should be our freedom as consumers to do that. This story, I think it's a very touchy subject. There's a lot of people very close to their VPN, the fact they have a VPN. They obviously enjoy using it, otherwise they wouldn't have set it up in the first place. I think the government should really take a good, long, hard look at the people who are doing something wrong, and that is accessing content illegally. Let the people who are using VPNs for legal purposes to continue to do so. That's our say on the matter. If you want to read a little bit more about that, we've written a story about it at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenning.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Well, Belkin have launched two new products in their Wemo family of home automation products. Now, Wemo is a product that allow you to control your appliances, your devices, remotely, wirelessly if you're in your home. And you can also set up different scenarios, so you can have sensors set up that trigger certain things and allow you to program lights to come on, various other outcomes, all using your Belkin products. Well, they've added to the existing range, and the existing range includes things like switches, so you can plug something into the switch and control it using the app. It also includes light switches as well as other sensors. But now they've come up with two new products, one called the Wemo Insight Switch and the other is called Wemo Maker. Now, starting off with the Insight Switch, that's kind of exactly what it offers you. It allows you to not only control the products connected to the switch, but also offer you the insights, as in the amount of electricity you're using, the amount of time that product's being used, and thereby gives the user the ability to then set rules for that device. So, for example, if it's a gaming console, you may not want your kids to use it between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. Or you may have the TV automatically shut off at 9 p.m. because that's the kids' bedtime. Or you may set the sprinkler system to run for a certain period of time, and then you can gauge exactly how much electricity each of those products are using. So it's kind of like running a taximeter on these various products. And if you see that amount of money coming through, then you're more likely to consider your usage of that product and maybe use it a little bit more conservatively or really take a look at how that product should be used in the first place and thereby try to save yourself a little bit of money. That's the Insight Switch. Now, the other switch that Belkin have launched is called the Wemo Maker. Now, this is a kind of do-it-yourself Wemo switch. This is going to be sold in Bunnings stores, places like that, where it allows you to use it with certain low-voltage products like electronic locks, pool filters, sprinkler systems, things like that, where you can add another level of control to the whole system. For example, you may set this a sprinkler system with the Wemo Maker so that it doesn't work if it's raining. Because there's a lot of sprinkler systems that are on timers, so they'll come in the morning, come in the evening. But imagine if without the Wemo Maker, the sprinklers are going to come on at those designated times, regardless of the weather. Wemo Maker lets you not only control that device remotely, set the times you want it on and off, but it also lets you program other scenarios like that, not being turned on if it's raining, because otherwise your backyard will get flooded. It's kind of a waste of water. If it's raining, you don't need to use your sprinklers. So that's just another example. Another example is if you use it with an electronic lock. Now, I should point out that the Wemo Maker does require a certain degree of wiring know-how. So you really need to have knowledge on how to connect it. There are these low voltage devices, don't forget, so there's no real risk of electrocution or anything, but you do need some knowledge to wire it correctly. But in the case of, say, the electronic lock, there's a lot of people who have remote. When you're in your home, you can unlock the door from wherever you are inside your house. Now, Wemo Maker gives you that ability to do that from anywhere. Now, imagine this scenario where a parent gets a phone call from their child saying, oh, look, mum or dad, I'm home. I forgot my key. I can't get in. Now, rather than you having to jump in the car and drive all the way home and open the door with your key, if it's connected with the Wemo Maker and it's electronic lock on the door, you can simply hit a button on the Wemo app and let your child in. You may even have a webcam set up so you can actually see them going into your house. Make sure it's no one else trying to get into your house. So all these little scenarios build up. So the Wemo Maker allows you to take that just that one step further. Both of those products are the Wemo Makers is out now. It's priced at $149.95. The Insight Switch will be available in July, and it's going to be $99.95. If you want to read a little bit more about those stories, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, weren't we happy when we saw the new Star Wars teaser trailer? Well, we weren't alone. There's a lot of fans around the world, and I have to say I'm a huge Star Wars fan, if you haven't worked that out already by listening to this podcast and reading what I write about various things. We were very, very happy with the Episode 7, The Force Awakens trailer. So We took a close look at it, as apart from just enjoying just the sheer visuals and the great sight of Han Solo and Chewbacca in the trailer. We did kind of take a bit more of an examination of what's in the trailer and trying to work out the storyline, as have other Star Wars tragics, not just myself. The couple of interesting things stood out for us was the fact that there are a lot of new characters in this film, and I think they are going to be at the front, probably the stars of the show, and they were obviously highlighted. There are several new characters there, but we also have to remember that there are still some of the old favourites as well, and they are old now. This is set 30 years after Return of the Jedi, so we need to keep that in mind. And we're talking about Princess Leia. We're talking about Luke Skywalker and, of course, Han Solo and Chewbacca. So the first half of the trailer was mainly Luke Skywalker talking about how the Force is strong in his family. Very interesting shot when he mentioned that his father had the Force. There was a shot, of course, of Darth Vader's melted helmet, which was seen. We saw at the end of Return of the Jedi where Darth Vader dies and Luke Skywalker lights a funeral pyre. This appears that the helmet has been retrieved by somebody. Now, I asked the question in my story, is this the Force Awakening? Is Darth Vader still alive? Just putting that out there as a scenario. Next thing we see is a lightsaber being handed over from one female to Princess Leia. Now, the rumor is that this lightsaber is the lightsaber that Luke Skywalker lost with his right hand at the end of Empire Strikes Back. So this lightsaber somehow finds its way back to Princess Leia. Another theory there. Luke Skywalker appears in the trailer. You can see his right robotic hand touching R2-D2's chrome. His dome, I should say. It is a dome made of chrome. There we go. But we also do see the new villain, this masked Sith Lord with his red lightsaber with the cross blades. We do see the young characters on the desert planet, which is not Tatooine, by the way. It is a planet that is called, it starts with a D, I can't remember the name right now. It's Jakku, starts with a J, J-A-K-K-U. It's not Tatooine, it's Jakku. There's obviously great shots of a crashed Star Destroyer, crashed X-Wing. But we also get a great look at the new look of Stormtroopers as well. But the stars of the trailer would have to be Han Solo and Chewbacca. I think right at the end of the trailer, the screen blacks out and you hear Han Solo saying, "Chewie, we're home." And from the trailer, it looks like they're standing actually inside the Millennium Falcon. So has the Millennium Falcon been returned to them? We don't know. This is yet another theory of ours. So We're really excited. I think there's 245 sleeps to go from memory. So we are counting down every one of those. We are very keen to see this new movie. If you want to read our examination of the Star Wars teaser trailer, you can do that. Techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they've just brought out Arlo, the 100% wire-free HD smart home security camera. And there's no need for a power outlet near the Arlo camera, which means there are no ugly cords, and you have the freedom to place the cameras wherever you like. Arlo security cameras have built-in night vision, so you can see what's happening at any time. And they can be placed inside or out, because all the Arlo cameras are weatherproof as well. Users can enjoy amazingly sharp 720p live video and receive a notification if anything moves, thanks to motion detection alerts. So whether you want to check in to make sure the kids are home safe, that the baby's still sleeping, the courier's dropped off that package, or if your holiday home or small business is secure, Arlo can give you peace of mind and all from the palm of your hand with the free Arlo app. A click or two is all you ever need to set up, or and all you need to check in. Check out the new 100% wire-free smart home cameras from Netgear at arlo.com/au.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Finnick. Tech Guide.
The first product in the Tech Guide reviews is the new 12-inch MacBook. This was the latest laptop that Apple announced about a month ago. Now, this isn't a MacBook Air. This isn't a MacBook Pro. This is in a class of its own. It's also got its own screen size, so there are no other screen sizes in the other ranges. This is a 12-inch MacBook. Now, I have to say right off the bat, this is the sort of product where you show it to people and they gasp. They think, wow, what a great looking device. Apple products tend to have that effect on people. This is no exception. It is, as I've described in my review, a real feat of engineering. Now, this is a thin and very light laptop. Now, it's thinner, in fact, than the MacBook Air. It's only 13.1 millimeters thick, weighs just 920 grams. So you still get the whole experience. There's still that Retina display, which is it now houses an even thinner screen. You also get a full-size keyboard, which has been completely reinvented. The keyboard, which used to have what they call a scissor mechanism, now has been replaced with what they now call the butterfly mechanism. And that's how the keyboard, the mechanics behind actually the press of the button. So what they've done is they've created a more stable typing experience. They've created even bigger keys, but they've also made the keyboard 40% thinner than the previous keyboards. So these all work in concert to bring this device down to an even thinner size. The logic board has also been redone. The battery has been reinvented with terraced battery design so that it can fill every little nook and cranny of this very thin chassis to increase the battery capacity and make use of that space. The logic board is actually 67% smaller than the MacBook Air's logic board. So in doing all this, they've brought all this stuff in, made it smaller, made it thinner, made it lighter. That includes the trackpad, which is a new Force Touch trackpad. It as well is thinner, but also offers another apart from the click and double click, there's also pressure sensitive touches as well. It also has haptic feedback. So what you think is a press, like even a click on the trackpad, you could swear that the trackpad's actually being depressed a couple of levels. It actually hasn't moved. It's the haptic feedback coming from under the trackpad that gives you the impression that you've actually depressed the trackpad down a couple of millimeters. It hasn't moved at all. Now, it should be noted that this is a 12-inch MacBook, full-size keyboard. There is a speaker on board that sounds pretty good for its size. The keys, by the way, I mentioned they're slightly larger. They're actually 17% larger. Less space between the keys, more flush with the surface of the device, so there's less travel. You know, the button doesn't protrude as high from the surface of the MacBook as the MacBook Pro, for example. So the result, all of that put together, means a much thinner laptop, much lighter laptop. Now, a controversial decision by Apple with the MacBook Pro, or sorry, the MacBook, 12-inch MacBook, is the decision to include only one port, and that is a USB-C port. This is a brand new type of connection that is both, well, not both, it is three things. It is your power connection. It is your USB connection. It's also your HDMI connection. Now, you can't connect several devices at once because there's only one port. So what you do need is an adapter. So that does kind of eat into the convenience factor of having this light on the go laptop that from Apple. So Apple's approach with the 12-inch MacBook is to give people a wireless experience. They're all saying it's all for wireless. So there's Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, so sharing files, accessing documents, getting your data, connecting to the internet. It's all done wirelessly, which is obviously how we do things on with all our other laptops as well. But if you wanted to connect, say, the power, for example, so you had your power connected and you wanted to access a USB file, then you'd need an adapter because you can't do that through a single port. I had a funny experience with the 12-inch MacBook when I wanted to migrate my MacBook Pro back up from my Time Machine drive put all my backups on the MacBook, and it said right during the setup phase when I connected the hard drive, it said you need to have power connected as well as the hard drive to complete the migration. Well, guess what, sonny boy? There's only one port. It's impossible, and I didn't have an adapter. So it let me do that anyway. But that's just an example of some of the limits that people are going to find with this new 12-inch MacBook. Look, it's gorgeous. It looks great. It's light. It's a pleasure to use, but it's not for everyone. If you're into editing high-end video, graphic design, photo editing, this computer is not going to do enough for you. You need to go for a MacBook Pro. It can do those things occasionally, but if that's all you're going to be doing, or the main tasks you're going to be doing, you're better suited to a MacBook Pro or a MacBook Air. MacBook Air has a more powerful processor as well. The 12-inch MacBook is designed for that on-the-go user who does want the ability to do those sort of tasks when they need to, but it's not their main task. They just want a reliable, well-designed laptop that they can go anywhere. It's so light and so thin, you'll forget it's even in your bag. So, look, in terms of design, Apple's just hit this out of the park once again. It's available in three colors: gold, silver, and space gray. So it looks a winner. It's going to be a popular product, not for everyone, as I said, but if you want to check out my full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Now, our smartphones are by our sides constantly, and one thing that frustrates us is our batteries. When we run out of battery in particular, some of us feel quite lost without our devices. Now, being able to have our phones charged up on the go is something that interests many users. A lot of those users don't have time to sit next to a PowerPoint for an hour and a half while their phone's being recharged as much as they'd love to. A lot of these people are on the move. They're either going out, they're into business meetings, they're out and about. Well, Mophie have just released the new Juice Pack, which is a protective case with a built-in battery. Now, these have been around for quite a while, but they've just introduced the versions now for the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. So these cases are designed to not only protect your phone, but they've also got a built-in battery so you can get a charge when you need it. If you're running low, you can click a switch on the back, press a button, and boom, your battery is being charged on the move, whether this is in your bag, in your pocket, in your case, or in your hand. It allows you to recharge your battery on the move. Now, there are two models here, the Mophie Juice Pack for the iPhone 6. So there's the Juice Pack Air and the Juice Pack Plus for the iPhone 6. So the Juice Pack Air lets you charge. That's got a 100% recharge. So on board is a battery that has enough power to recharge your iPhone 6 completely to 100% again. If you go for the Juice Pack Plus, it's got 120% capacity. So even after you've charged 100%, there's still 20% charge left on board in case you need it. In the case of the iPhone 6 Plus, the Mophie Juice Pack can recharge your device's battery to 60% capacity. So being a much larger device, the iPhone 6 Plus, it would take a much larger battery to give you 100%, and this the Mophie Juice Pack would be quite fat, wouldn't look very good wrapped around your phone at all. Speaking of looks, the juice packs actually aren't that big that they can sit around you. Once they're fitted around your phone, it doesn't add too much thickness to it at all. It doesn't add too much bulk. So not only are you carrying a protective case, but that battery is great to have, like a spare tire, let's just say, on your car. Whenever you need this, you click the button and you're charging away, because there's nothing worse than when you're about to head out and you realize you're on 5% battery and you've got nowhere to charge it. You're going to be without a phone. Well, if you've got the Mophie Juice Pack, that is not the case. You'll be able to charge on the move. Now, there is a micro USB port on the bottom to charge the actual battery on board the Mophie case. And you can also have what they call pass-through charging. So you can charge not only your phone, but also the case. There's also pass-through syncing. So if the phone is inside the case and you connect a micro USB cable from the port to your computer, you can also sync your iPhone 6 or 6 Plus through there as well. The Mophie Juice Pack review, you can read that at techguide.com.au. Now, who doesn't love an e-reader? And we just looked at the very latest e-reader from Kobo. Kobo's a big name in the e-reading market. Biggest rival would be the Kindle Paperwhite. Well, Kobo have just released the new Glow HD e-reader. And I've got to say, when you look at the specs side by side compared to the Kindle Paperwhite, the Glow HD has the strength here. It has got better specs. In fact, it's got the highest resolution touchscreen on the e-reader market. It's got a resolution of 1448 by 1072. And that's with a 300 ppi, that's pixels per inch. So the sharpness is actually very impressive. You look at the type on the screen, you think you're looking at print on a page. It is quite good. The Kindle Paperwhite, in comparison, has a resolution of just 758 by 1024. So that's just 212 ppi. So right there, the Kobo Glow HD has the money. Also, the Kobo Glow HD has a comfort light, as does the Kindle Paperwhite. But the difference with the Kobo is that the brightness is adjustable. So you can adjust the brightness to suit your surroundings. So the light is convenient because it doesn't emit a lot of light. The light tends to be pointed down into the device. So if you're reading in bed next to your partner, for example, it's not going to light up the whole room. It's just going to be just on your screen. In terms of size, the Glow HD is actually 180 grams, which is lighter than the Kindle Paperwhite, which is 206 grams. There's also more memory on the Glow HD too. It's got 4 gig, which can hold up to 3,000 books. The Kindle's only got 2 gig, which can store up to 1,000. So just on paper, you're seeing that there's some specs there where the Glow HD from Kobo certainly has the wood on the Kindle Paperwhite. Now, as an experience, if you're into your e-reading, it's all about enjoying the experience, being able to turn the pages really quickly. The good news is there's a 1 gigahertz processor on the Kobo HD, Glow HD, and that lets you turn your pages really quickly. It also lets you adjust the font. There's 11 different fonts. It even lets you adjust the font size, not only the size, but also the font weight, so you can make it bolder or lighter depending on your taste and what's comfortable for you to read. So if you're into your e-reading, it's worth checking out. There's Wi-Fi on board, so you can browse the Kobo bookstore, download books directly to your device. You can also connect the Kobo to your computer, so if you want to sideload your books, sync them through your Kobo account, which you may have a Kobo account, say, on your computer. You may download a book to the computer, but you can also sync that on your device as well, because it's all connected to the same account. The Kobo is also cheaper than the Paperwhite. It's $179.99, and it's going to be available from May the 1st. So if you're into your e-reading, the Kobo Glow HD is definitely something to keep an eye out for. It'll make your e-reading experience even more enjoyable.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Okay, our Tech Guide Help Desk is actually a question from one of our readers. Peter sent me a question saying, "Hi, Stephen, I have an iPhone 5C. My wife has the Galaxy Note 4. My wife now wants songs from my phone. So how can I transfer the music from my phone to the Galaxy Note 4? Well, there's a couple of things you can do here, Peter. There should be a migration app on your Android store and also in the Samsung App Store, the Play Store and the Samsung App Store. So you can tell the Note 4 that you're actually migrating content from your iPhone. So it'll grab things like contacts, messages, but also your music. If you've got music saved on your phone, you can also share it that way. One other solution would be to, if you do share a computer, you can actually sync all your music if you have iTunes matched, so all your music can be matched on any computer. But you, if you do have a computer where all your music is already and that you synced your iPhone 5C to that from that library, then you should also be able to connect the Galaxy Note 4 and drag and drop your music using the Android file transfer program. There are ways to do it. You can even buy dedicated apps that can download, that can transfer content from one device to the other. But there are several free solutions, two of them which I've already outlined. So that is your answer to getting your iTunes music. So your music from an iPhone to an Android device, in this case, the Galaxy Note 4. So you do have to look after your wife there, Peter. Thanks for asking. You want to keep the wife happy. Happy wife, happy life. If you want to share your music, that is the way to do it. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's our show for another week. You can read everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, email us at info@techguide.com.au. You can even send us a voice bite. Download my voice bite app. Record your 15-second question, #techguide, and I'll play your question in your own voice. So your own recording, you'll hear it here on the Tech Guide podcast. Special thanks, too, to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. Been great having you with us once again. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.